Welcome to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading, the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Pete Sheely, pastor at Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado. Good morning, Pastor Sheely.
Good morning.
Thanks for being our guest today and taking some time to help us study the daily lectionary. Tell us about Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado.
Well, Shepherd of the Rockies is smaller church. We're in Park County, which is in the area of Colorado, which is mostly above 8,000 feet. We have some high peaks, and we're beautiful, beautiful place around here. Looking at the mountains with the snow peaks right now, because we got about 6 inches of snow about a week ago up above 10,000 feet. But the church is a beautiful church. Set on Highway 285 coming out of Denver, and we're about 40 minutes away from Denver, south and a little bit west and into the mountains. Our congregation mostly is people who are traveling back into Denver. We have a few people that stay in around, but most people every day go down to Denver to work. So we're kind of a community that people are always on the road. So therefore, we meet their needs on Sundays and Saturdays and other things like that.
Well, we're glad that you're there in Bailey, Colorado, delivering God's good gifts at Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church, and glad that you're here with us this morning to get to study Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19. Is there anything about this text you'd like us to understand before we dig in?
I think you need to realize that Jesus just sent out all of his disciples, and they've come back, he's teaching them. And at the same time, when they come back, some other disciples from John come back, and so Jesus is going to be asking some questions. I think those are the keys to this whole understanding. This is the questions that Jesus asks.
Very good. We're in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19 today. We're studying with Pastor Sheely from Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado. Our text begins Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples and went on from there to teach and preach in their cities.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that at this time we have John the Baptist says he's been preaching in the wilderness, and he has gone against King Herod Agrippa, and Herod Agrippa has come down and put him in jail. And so John the Baptist is probably questioning a few things. You know, why if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, did I get stuck in jail? And it looks like I might be here the rest of my life. John's probably got some doubts, even though he was the one who proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Now he's got his doubts, and that's the way we are. We can be really strong in our faith at times, and then doubts can come because of bad things that happen in our lives.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?
Here's where you could think that John is doubting that Jesus, you know, even though he had seen the dove come down on Jesus, he could be doubting his faith a little bit. But at the same time, he could also be wanting his disciples to realize that, don't follow me. I'm not the one you need to be following. It's Jesus over there. So I'm going to send you over there to see Jesus and ask him this question also, so that you can see what I No, but so we have those two different things. We could possibly be not sure whether John is having a little doubt, and he could, but at the same time, he could also want his disciples want them to know that really the person they should be following is Jesus Christ.
And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me."
Yeah, here we see that everything that the Old Testament had said that the Messiah would do, Jesus is accomplishing every single one of those things. Throughout the Old Testament, and especially in Isaiah, we hear over and over again, what is Jesus going to be doing when he gets here? And what does Jesus tell John's disciples? He says, look, everything that you've heard John tell you the Messiah would do is being accomplished. Everything that the Old Testament said was going to happen is being accomplished. And go and tell that to John, to build his faith back up, to give him the assurance that, yes, as you baptized me to be the one, I am, and everything is going on just as the Old Testament has said it would.
As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" So as they went away, Jesus spoke to the crowds concerning John, asking these questions. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What are these questions that Jesus is posing?
I think Jesus is now interacting with the crowd and asking them, what were you expecting when you went out into that crowd? I mean, all of these people who are now following him at one time went into the wilderness because John the Baptist was quite a spectacle. Here's this man who's dressed in leather and eats honey and locusts, and he's out there proclaiming and proclaiming everybody that something really incredible is going to happen. And so Jesus is asking the people, what were you expecting? All the prophets of the past, we're always getting people ready for something incredible to happen. And what is happening is that Jesus, the Son of God, is now in their midst, is right there in the midst. What John had proclaimed out in the wilderness is now happening. In fact, you are right here. You don't even understand who I am. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for out there? If they were looking for the prophet like Elijah, well, that's who they got. And now you have to realize that through the Old Testament, that means he's pointing to me as Jesus, the one who would bring the message to the people to get ready for me. So he's really asking the people, who were they looking there? So what are they looking for now as they're listening to him? Who are they? Who do they think he is? And here's a great example of where Jesus is showing them that John didn't move from around like the wind blows and go from one opinion to the other. No, he stood steady as a rock in proclaiming the message that he was supposed to, and John didn't try to gain respect by the way he dressed. No, he showed what he needed to show by the way he dressed, to be a prophet of God, and to be the new Elijah that would prepare the way, just as Malachi had said, that they would send another Elijah to prepare the way for the prophet, for the coming Messiah, and that was Jesus.
Verse 9, what then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.
Yeah, wouldn't it be neat to be at the time when John the Baptist was out there, and you know that, next big event that's going to happen in this world is God's own son is going to be down here, and we can see him. And we would think, well, look, everything has been prepared. God has got it all planned out. Why didn't they understand that Jesus really was the Messiah? We look from way back, we look down there and we say, why? Well, they're just like us. We don't see the people around us today. We're looking at get so involved in all the things that we have. We miss out on the most important thing, and that is that Jesus is here. He's with us in our hearts and in his word and in his sacraments to lead us in the right direction. And so often we go off in all sorts of different directions and don't get ourselves prepared for the final day when we will end our life here on this earth and have the opportunity to be in heaven, or we have missed our opportunity and that sends us into hell.
Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. This is in quotes. This is a reference to, is this Isaiah?
This is Malachi.
Malachi.
Yeah, I'll send a messenger before you that will come and prepare your way. And that's what, we're going to send another Elijah, and that's what John the Baptist was. And John was out there in the wilderness preparing the people for the great event of Jesus' ministry starting. And he started it by baptizing Jesus and telling and pointing the people to Jesus. Say, hey, this is the Lamb of God who's going to take away all your sins. You need to listen to him. And then his disciples later on questioned him, why? Oh, how come this Jesus guy, he's taking all our people away? And he says, that's good, because my job is done. Now it's time for him to continue on to do his job, which would mean that he would not only show that he was the Messiah, but he would be the Messiah by going to the cross and dying for all our sins, and then coming to get back to life again on the third day in the resurrection, giving us just what God wants us to, the new opportunity to live with him and eternal life in heaven forever and ever.
It takes more than a prophet for that, right?
Yeah, it takes more than just a prophet. That's what they, later on, Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say I am? And the disciples say, oh, you're one of the prophets. And then finally, Peter says, no, you're not just a prophet. You're the Messiah. You're the one that has been promised throughout the whole history of the world, that you would come and save us from our sins, from Adam and Eve all the way to till now. And that's exactly what he was.
He back to Genesis chapter 3, we see that first mention of gospel, of that promised Messiah, right?
Yeah, going all the way back, we see the first sin, and what did God do? He probably gives us that first promise of a Messiah. A Messiah who would take away that sin, something we can't do. We can't take our sins away. We just keep piling them up. But God does. He sends his only son to make that, take all those sins that we have and take them from us so that we can live with him and the way God wants us to live with him. He wants us to be, his children and to live in his perfect peace and at all the time. And that's, this is exactly what Jesus is asking. He's asking all the people, you guys went out and saw John. What did you expect to see? Well, he's more than just a prophet. He's the one that prepared the way for the Messiah, and he's going, and he's pointing to himself and say, and I'm that Messiah. I'm that Messiah that's It's going to take care of all your problems, take your sins away, break the slavery to the devil and all the sins of this world, so that you can live in peace and harmony with God forever.
We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading today with Pastor Pete Cheeley from Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study of Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.
Worldwide KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsor on this Friday, October 10th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is John Thompson. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO Radio in honor of his wife, Christine, as they celebrate her birthday. Once again, we say thank you to John Thompson of Punta Gorda, Florida, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
The next Law and Gospel broadcast is another opportunity for you to phone in with any questions, because it is Open Mic Friday. And on Open Mic Friday, I, Tom Baker, will attempt to answer your questions. And if I don't have an answer for it that day, I will attempt to find the answer by the next broadcast.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Cheeley from Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado. We're in Matthew chapter 11 today. We've covered verses 1 through 10. Time to pick up at verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right, let's take a look at this. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist.
Yeah, here's an interesting thing. John the Baptist is the last of the prophets. Realizing that a prophet of God is somebody who God sends in to prepare the people for a big event. And so some of the big prophets we have, such as Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're preparing God's people for things that are going to happen that in their lives. Isaiah was preparing the people because they were falling away from God from the Babylonians coming in and taking them in captivity. Well, John is unique in the fact that he isn't preparing the people for a calamity to happen, but just the opposite, for the greatest thing ever to happen, and that is the Son of God coming down from heaven to earth. What an incredible task that John has to do that. And so, by far, he is the greatest of the prophets, because he's not coming to tell the people about how God is going to bring about calamity because they have abandoned him, but to how God is bringing down his only Son to give them his love because he loves them so much.
Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Yeah, at the same time, here you have John the Baptist, who has one foot in the Old Testament, also has one foot in the New Testament. And in the New Testament part of it, now that Jesus comes and dies for all our sins and takes all our sins away, John the Baptist is no better than anyone else. He's not greater than anybody else. He is right there at the same time, because John was a sinner just like each and every one of us. And so all of us, because of what Jesus will do for us, are in the same level. We are all saved sinners. So we're sinners and saints at the same time. And that's exactly where John the Baptist is. So he's the greatest of the prophets because he got a chance to, he's the one who gets to proclaim Jesus coming. He's no better than anybody else because he's still a sinner. And he's right there in the same level with all of us because sinners and saints, all because of what Jesus Christ will do for us.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force.
If you read through the Old Testament, well, everybody says, oh, there's so much violence in the Old Testament. Well, you're right. And the violence was because of the wickedness of the sin that was taking over the world. And sin was definitely in control of a lot of things. And now, though, as Jesus comes in, what does he do? He shows his power over all the elements of the world. And he also comes in and he conquers sin and all of sin by his life and his death and his resurrection. And so now it is not the violence of sin that's going to take over, because that's been taken care of because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, but it is also God's great love that he's going to be shining out of all the darkness of this world.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come.
We've got a reference back to verse 10, where we have Malachi telling here's the last book of the Old Testament, and he says, don't give up on all the bad things that are going to happen for the next hundreds of years, because eventually God's going to send this prophet, and that's who John is. And he's the new Elijah, the Elijah who's going to prepare the people, not for the captivity of all of Israel, all the God's people. Elijah came in to tell the people, hey, you have abandoned God, so God's going to send somebody to come in and take you out. Well, John the Baptist comes in and says, you have abandoned God, but God is going to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to bring you back into the right relationship with him by taking away all your sins.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
That's something that Jesus is telling us today. We need to have ears to hear God's word, because it's in God's word that we find out who John the Baptist is. It's in God's word that we find out what Jesus Christ has done for us and how he has come into this world to not just show us how to live, but to save us from all our sins and to give us a new life with him and with the Holy Spirit working in our lives so that we can live that life. Not only here as we struggle in the sins of this world, but for all eternity in the heavens that he has opened by his death and resurrection. He opened the doors of heaven for us. You know, if we don't open up our ears and hear this, then we will be lost. We'll be lost like the world is, walking in the darkness. But Elijah calls us to listen. John the Baptist calls us to listen, and to listen to what? To Jesus' words, to God's word, found in the Bible, all the way through the Bible.
This raises a question then, what about those whose ears do not work, whose ears are closed, whose ears are deaf because of the human nature? They're physically deaf, they cannot hear. Does this leave them out?
No, look at all the work that the Missouri Synod and are doing, and with deaf people, sign language. We more and more today, we have so many videos that show the words of God. Here at Shepherd of the Rockies, we have a youth group, and one of the things that they love to do is to to watch videos that show word for word God's word. So we have the video of the Gospel of John and the video of the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, and they love to watch those and then talk about them and use a Bible study that way. So we have visual hearing God's word as well. As a teacher for several years before I went into the ministry, I taught deaf people, and they can watch you, and as they see your voice, they see you talking to them, they can actually read your lips. You can sign language to them. They hear all the things, all the words of God also in so many beautiful ways. And so I would say sometimes the people who are physically deaf hear us better than we hear our own words, because they concentrate so specifically on what you are saying by your actions and by your mouth, the way it forms the words, and by your hands, so that they can hear God's word and really learn. And we have sign languages in so many of our churches today, where people who are deaf can hear God's word by the sign languages.
So the power is in the word, not necessarily in the ears, per se, but the power is in the word as it is perceived, whether it's through hearing or as it's received and perceived through other means. The power is in the word, the Holy Spirit working at work in the word as the word is given to people.
Right. Yeah, so the key here is that we really hear God's word, that we get into it. You know, you don't even have to hear it as somebody speaking it, by reading God's word, by getting involved in Bible studies, by being like you are right now, by sitting down and reading the word daily. At Shepherd of the Rockies, we have daily readings of the Bible that I encourage all of my members to get involved with. And as they read that chapter or two chapters in the Word, as we go through, we go through the whole Bible in about a year and a half time. I have questions for them to ask themselves. So not only hearing or reading the Word, but making it a part of yourself by understanding what you are reading and making it a part of your life.
Verse 16, "But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn."
Yeah, here's a great, once again, we are making a big, great comparison in between John the Baptist, who goes after the people and telling them what they've done wrong and why they need to really get prepared, why they need to be baptized of all their sins, washed of all their sins to get ready for the coming of the Messiah, and that's what Elijah did too, was getting the people ready. And in many ways, we have a comparison between Elijah and Elisha, who was more of a person who went out with the people and got involved with the people. He didn't just stand back and tell them what they were doing wrong. So we have a dirge, which were, you better be ready for your death, or somebody who's dancing and enjoying life. And that's what Jesus did. He went out to the people and got with the people and worked with the people, and people started to call him, well, he can't be the Messiah. He's not doing what we expect him to do. Well, he did exactly what he did. He went out into the people, where John the Baptist didn't go out with the people. People came to him because they wanted to hear what he was saying. Two different styles, and yet the people weren't listening. Neither one of them listened. God comes and calls us to come to him. Children call in the marketplace, calling their playmates to come and play with them. God is sitting in our marketplaces even today and calling us to come and learn who God really is. Come to our churches, come to God's Word, and find out who God is. Who is your Creator? Who is the one who has saved you from all the that is going wrong in this world.
Verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. So John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon.
Yeah, you see, I think that'd be today too. You know, we see guys, people who don't dress like us. We see people who don't look like us. They have hair different than us, and we think that, well, there's something wrong with that person. He's got a demon. And then we look at the other side of the person with somebody who's always always happy, always full of joy, and we think there's something wrong with them too. You know, two extremes. And yet, you know, here's God coming to us. He's coming to us as we are. He came to us in his only Son, who became a person just like each and every one of us. He had to face all the problems that we have to face, and yet he didn't commit a single sin so that he would be the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us, so that we could be saved. And the wisdom here is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is justified by the deeds that Jesus does for us, which he saves us from all our sins. That justifies each and every one of us by his life and his death and his resurrection.
The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. So Jesus came, Jesus, the Son of Man, right?
Yeah.
Came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard.
He did. He came and he socialized with people. I mean, he was at weddings. He was at the wedding where they ran out of wine, and what did he do? He made more wine and better wine than they had, and you know, he enjoyed life. He was, you would say, he was right there with everybody enjoying the life, and yet at the same time, he was always showing God's love and doing some incredible things, showing the people that truly Jesus, the Son, he is the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God, and he would be the one who would go to those who were sinners, the people who the normal people didn't like, tax collectors because they were not fair in what they did, and people didn't like them, and other people who looked like they were horrible sinners, and yet Jesus gave them mercy and grace, and showed God's love to them, as well as showing their love, his love to even the most rigid of the Pharisees and all those, everybody around. He showed God's love to them in so many different ways to bring them to him, and that's what we need to be doing today. We're not just going to one type of people. We need to go to all people and bring God's love and the wisdom of God found in his words to them so that they can know how they have been justified in God's eyes through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
This section ends on this last verse, yet wisdom is justified by her deeds.
Now, you look at what God has done, and you look at all the things that seems like God was such a mean God throughout the Old Testament. And yet, in God's wisdom, he knew exactly what he needed to do. He needed to show the people that when you rebel against me, when you take on idols, and idols are anything we put above God, when we make God the, you know, number 5 or 10 or 100 in our life instead of number 1, we are going in the wrong direction, and that's why Jesus had to come and put God number 1 again, and then to take all our sins so that we could put God number 1 in our life, and by the fact that Jesus has taken all our sins away from us. And now we don't have to live under the slavery of sin, but we can live under the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ and live in the peace of God that is way beyond our understanding. And that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that Solomon was talking about when he says, wisdom is great, and that wisdom is far beyond anything that we understand, and yet that's what we need to all have, is the wisdom of God. And we can only get that through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in our lives as we read God's Word.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, with just about 30 seconds left, is there a final thought you want us to walk away from this text with just about 30 seconds?
If anything, is to ask the question that Jesus asked, what are you looking for in a God? Who are you looking for in a God? And if you're looking for the things of this world, then you already have it, but it's not giving you the peace that you need, or is it solving any of your problems? And yet, Jesus has come into this world for you, and he's really the God that we need to all looking for. For he gives us a peace that is beyond this world, a peace that isn't just tied down to the sins of this world, but it's a peace that goes beyond this world and gives us a peace for all eternity. And that's what we need to look for, and that's what we need to hold fast to. And I think that's what these verses are really trying to get us to see. You know, who are we holding on to? Who do we make our God? Who do we try to follow? If we aren't following Jesus and his words, then we're following the wrong people.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Pete Shealy, pastor at Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado. Pastor Shealy, thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study the daily New Testament reading.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I enjoyed this time, and I hope everybody a great blessings. And if you're up in the mountains of above Denver sometime, come and visit us.
Well, thank you, and God bless you and all the saints there at Shepherd of the Rockies Lutheran Church in Bailey, Colorado.
God's blessings to your day and all of your those that are listening to their day also.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Tide right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.